Yeah, that's AI. Steven now has a beard, but I thought it was kind of cool. And you see how serious they are about helping people. Sometimes they all jump in and they're like, can we please help you? And sometimes they help me. That does not look like me at all, but that's sort of suspend imagination. There you go. I think you're really going to enjoy the week. I want to welcome to stage Carlos Perez and Christy Martinez. Give them a hand, please. Christy, you didn't get to see your picture. You want to see it? Look at this. No, this is great. Let me turn this on. Look at that. You really care. Thank you so much. You may want to turn your microphones on. Have you done that? Carlos, why are you shaking your head? Is that not you?
Kind of. A little bit. Not bad.
The hair is spot on, though, isn't it? And the dark glasses. Was that too far?
I think it's perfect, actually.
All right, good. Yeah. Awesome.
I'll take that.
Well, we're going to talk about online wellness, but I first want y'all just kind of to talk a little bit about why we need a mental wellness week. We're getting close to the end of the semester. Carlos and I, he volunteered y'all guys. I don't know if you realize that, but we've been talking about this since the summer because we knew this was going to be a need at this part of the semester, something really practical. So tell me, why mental wellness week? What do you see in this generation of students you teach?
I'll go first. Yeah, I've been thinking about this ever since you and I spoke, Fraze. I think to have a week for mental health wellness, online wellness, I think this is important because, and I'm going to mention a blanket statement, so, and it's intentional. And feel free to disagree with me, Fraze. I think this is important because everyone on purpose, everyone carries something. Everyone struggles. Be it depression, be it anxiety, comparison, family issues, work issues, boyfriend-girlfriend issues. I think everyone struggles, and I think that's real. And a week like this, for me, a week like this gives us a chance to validate and to understand and to bring awareness to this and to approach this conversation without judgment. If everyone struggles, and I really do believe that, if everyone struggles, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with struggling. No, we shouldn't live a life of struggling, but I think everyone struggles every now and then. I think that's okay. So a week like this for me is to provide empathy, provide awareness, provide understanding, things that I think we all need to get through it.
And I totally agree with that. One of the things that we hear over and over again, and we actually prayed about, is the burden that some people carry. And we're like, oh man, you don't have to carry that if we would just kind of visit with each other. But especially in Christian spaces, we think that everybody has it together. So if I let them know what I'm carrying, then I would be shunned. But everybody carries something. I totally agree. What do you think?
Well, and I think one of the struggles with that is when we share in community, that's great, but then we leave that space and it's like, oh, well, now I'm still alone. Now I still don't have the resources, or maybe I don't know what to do with this information. And so what I like about this week is that we're sort of creating multiple layers. So the first layer is understanding what we're seeing. And then by the end of it, you know, what are some tangible things within the community for our students to touch on, to grab, to be able to connect with. And so I think that's why this week is really important.
That's awesome. So thanks for the commercial, too. This is great. You're going to see this on Instagram. You're going to see Every Day Has a Purpose. We're going to talk about online today. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about personal wellness. And then we're going to talk about the question, how do I know when I need help, on Thursday? And it's going to be very practical. So thank y'all for being the very first people to talk about this light topic and answer it in 20 minutes, okay? Online wellness. Now, my first question to y'all is, are we overblowing the dangers of online activity? Because these students have not known a world without the internet. Most of them have not known the world without a smartphone. Now, we know all the numbers and we look at all the stuff, but sometimes we are so uncool because, did you start with flip phones? Nokia block? Put your mic.
The Nokia block phone.
You are old.
That was like indestructible. That's, yes.
Yes.
You can throw it across the room and it's fine. Yeah.
Did you have a landline?
Yes.
That's crazy. We don't even have those anymore. So are we overblowing the dangers of online? Why or why not?
Well, I think we first have to be able to define what dangers are. So when I was in college and I had my first cell phone, the dangers were, well, what are the dangers, right? Like someone maybe scamming you or getting your information, telling you that they're a, you know, a prince. They're gonna.
You're laughing. Have you? Did you respond to that? Is that?
I did not.
Okay.
Okay. Actually, I got scammed when I was in college by these people saying that they wanted to buy my books back from me, and they were like, "I'm gonna send you a money order, and then, but I also need you to send it back." It was a weird thing. So that's what I thought of when I thought of dangers, like, oh, being scammed. But then we also think of. The interactions we're having and thinking that they are anonymous or confidential, that no one's going to share a photo that we send. And so I feel like those conversations happen maybe regularly within high school. I'm not sure. And so we think of danger. What does that mean? And what does that mean specifically for you? Now we're understanding cognitive danger, emotional danger related to continued online use, feeling like you can't put your phone down. I'm sitting here now and can barely see, and I see like 12 people who are currently on their phones.
Dude, this is getting real up in here. Okay, good.
And so I just think, wow, it's difficult to even be present in this moment. No shade. I mean, no shame. If I were your age, I'd probably be doing the same thing. But what does it mean to really be present?
Did you just hear that? Yes.
Hello.
It was probably an admin somewhere. Yeah. It's good.
Can I have a question again?
Are we overstating the online dangers?
Yeah, for me, I think it's yes and no. Because I do think there's some good things that come with your digital footprint. I mean, there are resources. I think a lot of people have access to mental health help with online information, online resources. I think there's a lot of good things that come with it. I do think we tend to start, it becomes dangerous, two things for me, which I can talk a lot about, so stop me whenever you want to. Two things that are dangerous for me. When it comes to online use, I think our dopamine hits are interesting, and I think our algorithms can be dangerous too. So let me start with the dopamine one first. I think stuff like your TikTok feed, YouTube Shorts, Instagram Reels, I think those are really dangerous because if we're scrolling through our TikTok and if we're landing on a short and we stay on it for a second or two because it's not interesting, we keep scrolling, we keep flipping until we land on something that we like. So our brain physiologically is looking for a tiny little dopamine hit, and it starts to have the conversation about addiction. And being addicted to social media and that kind of stuff. That gets dangerous for me because I think that also takes a hit on our attention spans. If I can't look at a video for more than 5 seconds without wanting something else, I think that seeps into our attention, and I think that's really, really damaging the way we connect with each other.
But here's the pushback, because the two guys are playing a game right there, and they're two of my students.
Okay.
Ooh. So I'm multitask, guys. So I think multitasking is a myth as far as getting the very best out of your life. Is that go to back to the dopamine hits that we think we can do two things at once?
If the few times we do something successfully in like two things at a time, it's successful, we think we're good at it, it's a dopamine hit. And so we chase that, start to talk about addiction language. So we chase that dopamine hit because we think we can multitask. No, I agree. I don't think that's a thing. What do you think?
I think it depends on how your brain is wired. But is this like a natural thing or is this something that I've created? So I don't know. I think it can be both. Like I getting the hits by multitasking, but also what about things that are like a non-preferred task? So our boys over here can play the game and then also...
I love these people.
Shout out Hayden.
They're my people.
But you know, we can do that, right? But then when does that stop? And now I'm taking a quiz and I'm struggling to focus on the quiz because I need another thing to be distracting.
See, one of the things, when I do premarriage counseling, I know y'all do that as well. When you're talking to your significant other and you're having a deep conversation and you're doing this, and I go, are you listening? And they're like, oh, yeah. How well does that work in a personal relationship? Just looking at your phone instead of looking in the eyeballs when you're trying to have a deep conversation. It doesn't work very well.
From personal experience, if my wife is asking me if I'm listening and I'm on my phone, like, that's getting serious. Like,
yeah.
Listen, like, put it down, listen, because, yeah.
Well, I'm married to an LPC, and so I lose that battle all the time. Shorts will be addictive. We were talking backstage about a book by Jonathan Haidt, which came out, I guess Today Show talked about it, and when they get a hold of something, it's, what, 6 months to 2 years behind. But it's the old dopamine studies that he found out. It wasn't COVID that ruined our social cues. The thing that in every culture is the use of the cell phone. That I could go to Europe and talk to a kid there and we could talk cultural language where that wouldn't have happened. So that's a positive thing. But at the same time, during the rise of cell phones, see if y'all have seen this in your research, the first time we were kind of doing pretty good with stress and anxiety, suicide ideation, but then the number of apps that increased stress, anxiety, suicide ideation began to rise. Have y'all seen that in your research?
Yeah, it's called deaths of despair. So that's like suicide, but then also addiction, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, and then like the liver shutting down because of that. And so there actually has been a rise, which has drove down the U.S. life expectancy. And so, yeah, that's valid.
So, wow, that's crazy. So one thing at Fuller, we call that the lunchroom, and we're going to go to your practicals in a second, that when we were kids, we had to sit in a lunchroom for 45 minutes. You know, now it's even less. But the first time from middle school to high school, you got to pick your seat. A traumatic time in our lives, but we had to do it. But we knew it would be over. All of the looks, all the weird conversations, we finally found a rhythm. When you look at the cell phone, there is a FOMO. It's like if you get bullied in a lunchroom, I can leave. If I get bullied online, it's like the lunchroom, you never leave it. And I thought about that metaphor, and I can go back there for some of you who are older. If you remember that lunchroom experience, that's kind of what having a cell phone is. If I post something and I don't get likes, I'll repost. We post at a certain time. We do social media cues at a certain time. So here it is. Great device. Also can entrench us. I love the discussions on dopamine. What can we do? What are some positive things for the audience, for myself, for all of us to better control our online wellness?
Well, I'm going to butt back a little bit on what you said.
Do it.
It's not that we can't escape our phone. We're choosing not to. Like, if you are getting harassed or bullied or whatever, like, you know, you could delete stuff. You could, you know, have a new email and open up a new account. Like, this idea of I can't escape it, you can escape it. And
so why do we get there then? Why do we think we can't?
The dopamine,
yeah.
Right? The chemicals in our brain are being dumped in and it feels good and it feels great. And even fear is something that we can chase after.
Because our friends will know we put them on silent, we put them on red. Mm-hmm. They'll know that we've changed our account. And now we got to go to school and do this and face people in public.
Right.
I haven't had to because I walk across this campus. What do? I don't have to have a hard conversation or even take the risk of saying, how are you doing today, Christy? And you're like, doing fine, Dave. That's awesome. But that's weird to some students mm-hmm. to have that kind of interaction. That's a great point.
Yeah.
I,
I hate starting phrases like this, but I remember when.
Oh, my word. You're so old.
I know. If Fredenberg is in here, he's going to roll his eyes at me.
Bag phone boy. That's
by the way,
we'll
it's Fredenberg's birthday today, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
Yeah, so anyway.
He's really old.
I remember when we didn't have cell phones, though. I remember when we just hung out and sometimes didn't talk to each other. And we're just sitting and just maybe doing nothing. Sure, that might be awkward today, but me personally, Phrase, I think it's awkward to sit next to someone when two people are staring at a screen and they're right here. I think that's awkward. I think it's awkward when people walk around with their Beats and one of them is off the ear. I don't know what that's awkward to me. And so the fact that we're easily I'll put it this way. I think we use our cell phones as our crutches. And it helps us, it soothes us in times of uncomfortableness.
So how do I get rid of it? We got give me something to say, help me with my addiction.
Okay, this is what I tell couples that I work with. If we're having a hard conversation, if we're having like an argument or something uncomfortable, I tell people, if you're feeling uncomfortable, just push past that just a little bit. Put your phone down, sit with someone, talk to them, look at them. If that's uncomfortable, if that's awkward, push past it just a little bit. And that little bit actually goes a really, really long way.
It's good.
Yeah. What was your question?
Help me. Okay. How do I help with online wellness? Give us something practical. He's saying push through the awkwardness. What would you suggest?
I think legitimately doing a detox, which sounds wild, but to clean out the system, aka your dopamine intake, challenging yourself to shut down at certain times, to not pick up your phone, put your phone in another room, like deleting social media off your phone for an entire month, or whatever that would look like for you. I think we're at the point, and maybe you can attest to this more for yourself, but are you at the point where you could leave your phone for an entire 8 hours and you would be okay and you would be living your best life? Or does it make you cringe to be without your phone after 15 minutes? Are you feeling some type of way? And so only you can determine how extreme you need to go. But I think recognizing that is the most important thing.
That is so good. I had an administrator at this district I worked with before coming back to LCU that says a person's cell phone, if you take their cell phone up, is the equivalent of a strip search today because of all the information on there. And they were telling you how you do that because students will go crazy for all these different reasons. It's attached to who they are, the streaks and all that kind of stuff. But I think to have a legit detox would be incredible. And they didn't have time for homework, things of that nature. But they would also just have time to sit down and feel the sun, the West Texas wind. I mean, whatever but they could have that moment to push into the awkwardness. We talked about a new book coming out. I think it's Find Your Real Self or True Self. That's going to be a real interesting read. But the guy I heard today said, the hour after you wake up, the hour before you go to bed, and dinner time, no cell phones to start there. Do you think that's maybe a beginning spot for some people who are first hour, last hour, dinner time?
I tell people, if you miss an email, if you miss a text message, it's fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I'm not that important. We're not that important. So if someone doesn't talk to me for an hour, I think it's fine. Like, unless it's life or death, someone's going to get a hold of you. But if you don't see your email for an hour, if you don't see your TikTok feed for an hour, I think it's fine. Nothing is going to happen. So yeah, hour before bed, hour when you wake up. I love the no dinner with no phones. I love that a lot. That's actually a really good idea for me.
Have you all seen, I know we're almost out of time, but you go to your counselors, right? I mean, this is what you study. Does it bother you when you go to restaurants and you see families that are wasting an opportunity to do this and they're all on their phones? They give a kid an iPad and it's like, a kid's supposed to be yelling and thinking, I don't want to eat this. I mean, it's humor for us older parents, right? Like, beat them. I mean, it's kind of fun to watch. But it's kind of sad to me that they're missing a moment to say, how was your day? Is that on? You did not die. We see you.
Heller.
There we are.
Okay. That was really loud. We carry Uno everywhere we go. So we like.
Is that a disease or a card game?
Both. it can infiltrate an entire family.
Scoot back, Carlos. She has Uno. Yes.
So we'll take. We have a bunch of different Uno games. And so we'll play Uno while we're waiting for our food to come. And so that's how we interact as a family. Yes, it does bother me, but also I know I can't control what anyone else is doing, you know?
Well, thank you for controlling yourself. That's a great model. This is just a taste. I think it's awesome. We have two things. One, be aware the dopamine hits, and you're going to have a feeling, an actual physical feeling of uncomfort when you decide to raise your eyes and have a conversation, right? That's not abnormal. And then we're saying, I'm going to blame it on y'all. Christy and Carlos are saying, do without your phone a little bit more, right? Little detox. I'll go ahead and join you with that. Have a detox and see what happens. Any other final word? Anything you're burning to say about online wellness? That's awesome. I don't know what just happened there. I love your body language. Carlos, anything else?
No, I think that's good. I think we need to, thanks for having a week like this. I think we need to talk about these things and reflect on these things because I do think it's needed. And I think ultimately it's for the better. So thanks.
Awesome. So here we're going to try this. Can I have the house lights up, please? Don't leave yet. This is going to be great. This is totally off the cuff. Look to the person next to you and introduce yourself. Look to the person on the other side and introduce yourself. Turn around and see the person you've been sitting next to and just stare into their eyes for a moment. Introduce yourself. We're just making it real weird. Christy, it's your first time on stage. I would like to give you this honor of saying the magic words.
You are dismissed.
There we go.